Thank you, brother, for leading those songs, and I echo the sentiment of Doug this evening in welcoming you, and we appreciate your presence as we try to come in out of the weather a little bit to worship God this evening. Again, I am thankful for the opportunity to be with you this week, and I'm grateful for Neil and Michelle earlier, being in their home, and I appreciate them feeding me and their hospitality, and I'm encouraged by the young couples that I see here at Southside. And when those who are older here pass from the spot, godly, I'm encouraged by the young couples. They're starting their families, serving the Lord together, and being hospitable, and encouraging, and spiritually minded, and that is such a blessing thought as I am glad that we sang the song "Into Our Hands the Gospel is Given," because this evening I answer the question, why obey the gospel? We do have the gospel in our hands this evening, and God wants us to take that to others. And during a gospel meeting, I wanted to spend some time talking about the gospel. And we're going to look at three simple reasons why we should. This might be something that would help us. It's good from time to time to go back to the basics. Go back to those things that are simple. Go back to those things that are easy to understand. There may be something here this evening that we can share with others as we talk with friends and neighbors about the gospel of Jesus Christ, encouraging them to have forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I go to fix something or solve something, it seems like a lot of times I make it harder than it really has to be. I go to fix something and I spend more money than I really need to spend. I go to Lowe's and I buy the tools and I buy the supplies and I get home and find out later, well, I really didn't need all of that. Or I spend more time than I need to, or I spend more or I do harder work than I need to. Maybe you've experienced that. When really the simple way was a lot easier or a lot better to do. Not long ago, I was working on my lawnmower and I needed to replace the back belt, the one that's under the seat and under the battery, the one that runs the transmission. And I had done those types of things before, but on this particular one, I wasn't sure exactly how that was to be removed. And I started in on that. And 3 hours later, I still don't have the belt off. And I even YouTubed it. My son said, well, have you YouTubed that yet? So I YouTubed it. Nobody had had that particular model that they were working on. And then I jacked it up, and I had it jacked up, and I'm underneath, and I'm looking at that thing. And while I'm underneath, my eye caught two little bolts on the outside of the mower. Those two little bolts are the bolts that you take off to remove that pulley, and the belt just comes right out. 3 hours later, I was talking with somebody about that. The normal process on that is about 20 minutes. A lot of times we make things harder than it should be. And with regard to obedience to the gospel, I wonder maybe if that's the case. I want us to remind ourselves this evening that there are just really three simple reasons why we need to obey the gospel. When we turn in our New Testaments, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, we'll remind ourselves this evening that gospel simply means good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. And I can't think of any better good news. We have good news about someone is going to get married. And we have good news about that somebody is pregnant. Or good news that somebody is about to give birth. And we have good news about a lot of things. But nothing greater than salvation through Jesus Christ. And so when Paul is reminding the Christians or the saints here at Corinth, he talks about how that he was with them. This is back in Acts chapter 18. He was preaching the gospel to them, and he says, "Now I make known unto you, brethren," 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "the gospel which I preached unto you." And then he talks a little bit about that in verse 3. "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And so the good news, the euangelion, the word translated gospel, means good news or good tidings. And that certainly is good news, that we can have forgiveness of sins. And when you turn in your New Testament, you find that the word gospel is used for sinners, those who are not Christians. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, one of many places that we could look at, where Jesus said, "Go preach the gospel to the whole creation." He's talking about those who are lost in sin. They need that saving message of forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. But also, there are places in the New Testament where gospel is used for those of us who are already Christians. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15 that he would like to come to Rome and preach the gospel to the saints that are at Rome. The word gospel does not mean a body of message that is just for non-Christians. Back in the 1970s, some brethren and others tried to make a distinction between gospel and doctrine, and the gospel passages are the passages for the non-Christians, and the doctrine passages are for the passages for the Christians. And there is no distinction between gospel and doctrine. Those two words, one, gospel means good news, and doctrine means teaching. It's just two different words for the same body of teaching. That's the entire New Testament. And so we're going to talk this evening about obeying the gospel. That is for someone who may be here this evening that needs to become a Christian. But it's also for all of us here this evening who are Christians. We need to obey the gospel each and every day. So when we talk this evening about why obey the gospel, that really is for all of us. Why become a Christian? Why be baptized into Christ? And why remain faithful thereafter? Why obey the gospel? A lot of times we encourage people to obey the gospel. We encourage them in an invitation and during the invitation song. But why should they do that? We talk about hearing and believing and repenting and confessing and being baptized. Why should they do that? We talk about living faithfully thereafter and our attendance and coming together and worshiping and growing as a Christian and doing the Lord's work and being organized right and worshiping right and working properly. But why should we do all of that? I want to remind us this evening that really there are three simple reasons why we need to do that. And I hope that this will be a good reminder for all of us to keep obeying the gospel. There are people who are becoming unfaithful. I have in my own family, it saddens me to say that there were those in my own family who were once faithful Christians who are no longer that. We stop obeying for some reason. Be it the world or the devil or something comes in and creeps in and crawls in and we find ourselves one day not obeying the gospel. I want to remind us of the importance of doing that. And maybe we can share these same simple three reasons for others to obey. In the home congregation where I'm at, there are those who need to obey the gospel. And they know the lessons. They've heard the lessons. They're raised in families that are godly families. But for some reason, they're refusing to do that. They've forgotten why they need to do that. I think a lot of people know the information. They know the facts. They know what we call the five steps of conversion, which I think is great to describe it that way. They know what they need to do, but they don't know why they need to do that. And so they just don't. And so this evening I want to remind us of those things, and I hope that our study will encourage us to obey each and every day the great gospel of God in Jesus Christ. Why do we need to obey the gospel? We need to obey the gospel to show our love. If you were to ask somebody, "Do you love God?" they would probably say yes. "Do you love Jesus?" they would probably say yes. "Do you love yourself?" they would probably say yes. Well, have you gotten up and obeyed the gospel today? No. You need to obey to show your love. We're familiar with John chapter 5 and verse 3 that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. We sing in our psalm book, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Someone will sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and then walk out of the building and not obey. Those who do not obey the gospel cannot say that they love themselves, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, or they love God. A lot of people throw the word love around, and they would say, oh, no, 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 you can't question my love. I love God. Do you obey? I am questioning that, because in the Bible, love shows itself. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 24. Do you remember when Paul was encouraging the Corinthian brethren to get their collection together? They had been talking about it. They had been planning it. But Paul said, you need to get your collection together. There will be those who are coming along, and they're going to be taking that to the needy saints in Judea and in Jerusalem. You need to have that ready. And notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 24. What does he say about love there? Show therefore unto them in the face of the churches the proof of your love. Show the proof of your love. There's actually two words in that verse, two different words that Paul used, that means an outward plain manifestation. The first one is show, and the second one is proof. If you say you love someone, you're going to openly manifest that in actions. We know that from the husband-wife relationship. We know that from other relationships. We don't just simply want words. We want actions to back that up. And so when we say, I love God, we need to back that up and show it in obedience to His Word. The reason we need to obey is, we cannot say that we love God until we obey. Show the proof of your love. Do you love yourself? Do you value or have a worth of yourself? I'm not talking about what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's listing various things. Grievous times will come, and he starts the list with, men shall be lovers of self. That's selfishness. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a work of the flesh. That's wrong. I'm talking about, do you appreciate or value your own soul? We all do. We would all say yes. I value myself. I know that I have a self-worth. I'm made in the image of God. Well, if that's the case, look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. What did Peter appeal to at the end of that first gospel sermon? He said, save yourselves. Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. He wanted them to realize that you need to do something. And in order to do that, you need to appreciate the situation that you're in. Back in verse 37, they said, men and brethren, what must we do? They were pricked in their heart. And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then with many other words, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. You have to have enough self-worth and value to appreciate what is inside of you to want to get up and do something about that. That's what I mean this evening by loving yourself. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. Speaking of the husband who is to love his wife. I'm speaking this evening in this sense that Paul uses it in Ephesians 5 and verse 28. Even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife, underscore this, loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ also the church. You love your wife as you love yourself. Well, what does that mean? Well, I appreciate myself, so I appreciate her. I value myself, so I value her. I take care of myself, so I take care of her. I sacrifice and do what I need to do, so I'm going to sacrifice for her. So back to our point. Do you love yourself? Yeah, of course I do. Well, you'll get up and you'll obey the gospel. Because you know that your soul is valuable. And there's sin in your life. There's sin in my life. And we can have that forgiven through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to get up and do something about that. If you were in a burning building, would you save yourself? Well, of course you would. If you were in a boat that is going down and you're drowning, would you try to save yourself? Well, of course you would. If you were in the path of a hurricane or a tornado, would you take cover and save yourself? Well, of course you would. Why not with sin? Why obey the gospel? Because I love my soul enough to get up and do something about it, and I love God, and I want to keep His commandments. Do you know that not everybody does that? Turn with me to Luke chapter 11 and verse 42. Not everybody loves God. That's why they don't obey the gospel. And you can even be religious like these Pharisees in Jesus' day. They were very religious. They did some things that God wanted them to do, but they wouldn't come to Jesus Christ. They didn't want to have anything to do with Him. They're very religious. But in Luke chapter 11 and verse 42, notice what their interest was in. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe, that is, you count out 10. You tithe mint, we know what that is, spearmint, peppermint, and rue. It's another herb that was used for medicinal purposes. You count out these little herbs and every herb and pass over justice and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not left the other undone. They weren't loving God. Turn to John chapter 5, verse 42. Jesus said that they did not have the love of God in themselves. Why obey? To show that we appreciate our own soul and to show that we really love God. It's not just talk. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourselves. He saw that they wouldn't obey. And there are other passages that speak to the same thing. Do you love God? Yes, I love God. Well, every day we'll obey. Do you love Jesus? Those who love Jesus obey. I know young people who need to obey the gospel. And if you ask them, do you love Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus. Well, why haven't you obeyed? Look at John chapter 8 and verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. You would love me. They didn't want to obey. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, a very familiar passage to all of us, that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Why obey? Just simply to show that we love God, that we love Jesus, that we have enough appreciation for our own soul to save it. And obedience to the gospel is the very thing that will do that. Will you show the proof of your love this evening? When we stand before a crowd and we confess that Jesus is the Christ and we go down into the water to wash away our sins, it's a public showing that we love God. It's not just words. We put the words into actions. And each day as a Christian, when we get up and we obey the gospel are those passages like Ephesians 5 that tells us how to love our wife as Christ loved the church and respect our husband and raise our children, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. That's the gospel. Passages that tell us like Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 about assembling. That's the gospel. And the work of the church and the organization of the church and the worship of the church. That's the gospel. And when we get up every day and we obey the gospel, we show that we really love God and Jesus and we appreciate our own soul enough to save it. Why obey the gospel? To show that we love. Why obey the gospel? We obey to enjoy the Christian life now. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. We only have one life and we need to get on board with becoming a Christian and remaining faithful as a Christian. You only get one life to do it. And when we delay our obedience, or when we become unfaithful as a Christian and we're not obeying the gospel as we should, we are missing out on the absolute best life that God has for us. We're wasting our time, we're delaying, we're putting it off. We can be enjoying the Christian life. The rich young ruler didn't want to come to Jesus. He didn't want to give up anything and come follow Jesus. And so when he walked away, the disciples asked Jesus about this situation, and he said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Peter said, we've left all to follow you. What do we get? Verse 29, Mark 10, there's no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake. Here are people who have obeyed the gospel and they've given up for the sake of the gospel, and we all do that. But he shall receive 100-fold now. Underscore that in your Bible. Now. There's something that we enjoy now. And he mentions those things, and then he says, and in the world to come, eternal life. We're going to talk about heaven later in just a minute. Paul says that life and immortality have been brought to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. Life. Why obey the gospel? Number one, to show our love. Number two, to enjoy the Christian life now. Those who don't, on a daily basis, each day that goes by, they miss the joy of being a Christian. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Their life might be good in many kinds of ways, but they're still missing out on the joy of being a Christian. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life which now is, underscore that in your Bible, now, right now, and that which is to come, heaven. There is a promise of a life that now is. And if you'll obey, and you'll keep obeying every day, you can enjoy that blessed Christian life. I mentioned earlier our younger couples. I see the Christian couples and the Christian couples having children and raising their children. That is the blessed life. And I see older brethren here who have been married many years, and older brethren here who have been faithful many years, and they're serving as elders, and they're being examples to others. They're living the godly Christian life now because they obey the gospel and they get that promise of the life that now is. A couple of years ago, we just had moved to Clarksville, and a young teenager came forward to be baptized, and I asked her dad later, I said, why did she decide to come forward? And he said, well, it was something you said in one of your sermons. And I said, well, what was it? I'd be interested in knowing. He said, well, when my daughter heard you say that it doesn't matter if you're the smartest kid at school, if you're not a Christian, you don't have what God wants you to have. She was a very smart kid. She made excellent grades. All of these clubs, you know, valedictorian. And she hadn't thought about that. And so listen to me, tonight we could be smart, we could have a lot of things, we got a new phone and a nice car and good job and money, got all kinds of nice, but if you're not a Christian, you're empty, you're lacking, you don't have what God wants you to have. And she stopped and thought about that, and she's like, yeah, I guess so. So she comes forward and she's baptized into Christ. I say that because In our world today, there is so much emphasis on the outward material kinds of things that people forget just a simple little thing, and that is we need to obey because that's what allows us to have the joy of a Christian life now. Forgiveness of sins. We can go to bed each night with a clear conscience, knowing that we're forgiven. Answered prayers. John talks about that in 1 John 5. Forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1, 7. Answered prayer, 1 John 5:14, that if we ask according to His will, He will hear us and answer us. Joy and peace, Philippians chapter 4. This world is messed up. They're angry and they're anxious and worried and bothered, and they're trying to treat it with pharmaceuticals, and they're trying to treat it with all kinds of human wisdom. And some of those things need to be treated with those types of things. Much of it doesn't. And they could have inner joy and peace by living by God's word, but they won't. They could have the Christian life now. What about a spiritual family? You get to come with your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Southside on a weekly basis. There's a bunch of people that don't have that. They don't have that. I talk with people from time to time that when they need physical help, they don't have anybody to call upon. You do. A spiritual family. I did a funeral just a few years ago in Springfield. It really was sad. They weren't members of the church. They weren't Christians. We had invited them to the service many times. Sometimes they came and visited. They would not obey. And when it came time for a funeral, they had no one. They had no one. They didn't know what to do. We have a spiritual family. We have guidance from God's Word. We can open our Bible and get help and comfort from the Scriptures. Romans 15, verse 4. We get guidance. We get help. Help in answering questions, troubling questions. Help in making decisions in life. When we don't obey, we're missing out on the blessed Christian life. That's why we need to obey. To show our love and to experience the joy of being a Christian. There will be difficult times. I'm not painting a picture that is meant to say that there's not going to be any problems. Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 3, those that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be some difficult times, and Christians still get sick, and Christians get cancer, and Christians have problems at work and school and other places, but God's Word helps us get through, and prayer helps us get through, and our brethren help us get through those times. We have the blessed Christian life, the promise of the life that now is, and that's why we need to obey each and every day. And for those of us who are Christians, I've known of brethren who, after a little while, they drop out, like the prodigal son, and they realize, oh, the world's not like the blessed Christian life. I thought it was, and I wanted to try it out for a while, and I'm realizing now that it's not what I thought it was. And we pray for them to come back. And some of them realize that. They miss the forgiveness of sins and the answered prayers and the joy and the peace and the spiritual family and coming together and singing and studying God's Word. And they come back, and we pray for them to do that. And then last of all, we need to obey the gospel so that we won't find ourselves lost in the judgment day. We obey the gospel so that we can be saved and go to heaven. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I realize that hell is not a popular topic. It's not avoided here, and it's not avoided where I preach, and it's not avoided where Steve Mons preaches. But it's avoided in a lot of places in this nation and around the world. People don't want to hear negative things. And so sometimes the topic of hell falls on on hard times. Preachers don't want to preach on it. They don't want to mention what Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 7, that at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of His power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Why obey? Because when we don't, we're going to get what Paul said, suffering punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord. We obey so that we're not lost to the horrors of hell. But we can go to the blessed place of rest called heaven. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:17, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? Great question. And we know the answer. Jesus tells us what the end is. Hell. Paul tells us what the end is. Hell. John tells us what the end is. The lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? That's why we obey. We have an elderly lady at Clarksville. She's up in her 80s, never misses. Never misses. And by the way, she has the same aches and pains as we do, and the same, never misses. Every once in a while, as she has a walker, she's going out. I'm at the back door. She's going out. She'll hand me a little piece of paper. She gives me sermon suggestions. She has some good ones. I've got one right now that I need to preach. She said, would you preach on Philippians 2, 5 through 11 about Jesus there, you know, sacrificing, becoming a man and dying on the cross? Okay. So I got to get that one worked up. Every once in a while, she comes up to me and she says, Chris, we need another good hellfire and brimstone sermon. I kid you not. That's what she says about once every 6 months. We need another good hellfire and brimstone sermon. And so I'll do it. We need to shake, brethren, in our boots at the prospect of facing this hellfire when we don't obey the gospel. Those who do not obey will be lost to the horrors of hell. Those who do obey get to be in heaven with God for all eternity, and we don't want to miss heaven. Paul says in Colossians 1:5, he says something about the gospel. Turn with me there. It's the gospel, Colossians 1:5, that gives me the hope of heaven. If the horrors of hell are dark and black and ugly, then the blessings of heaven should be light and glorious and hopeful, and that's why we need to obey. Paul writes in Colossians 1:5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens. Where did you hear about it, Paul? Where have you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel? The same thing in verse 23. I wish we had time this evening to read Revelation 21 and 22. To read about singing around the throne for all eternity and serving God night and day. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Obey every day. Obey. So that we can be saved. So that we won't miss that hope of heaven, so that we don't miss this. Revelation 7, verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd and God, and shall guide them in the fountains of the waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Young people here this evening, obey. Your parents are trying to live the godly Christian life, and you can go and be in heaven with them and your grandparents and those that you love. Don't miss that. That's why we obey. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. We obey so that we can experience this. Verse 4. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things are passed away. And so that we don't have to experience this, verse 8, but for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Turn to chapter 22. In verse 3, so that we can experience this, and there shall be no curse anymore, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night no more, and they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We want to go to heaven. We want to avoid the horrors of hell. Who had more to say about hell than anybody in the New Testament? Who was that? Jesus. Jesus had more to say about hell than anyone. Even Jesus spoke of hell. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Why obey the gospel? It's the way you show your love. So that you can experience the blessed Christian life now, and so that you and I will not be lost. You know, obedience sometimes is difficult. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 as we close our thoughts this evening. Hebrews chapter 5, speaking of Jesus. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been made perfect, He became unto all them that obey Him. That's what we're trying to encourage tonight. The author of eternal salvation. Notice in the same sentence in verse 8, the word obedience and the word suffered. Sometimes obedience is difficult. But it's worth it. It's how we show our love. It's how we enjoy the blessed Christian life. It's how we keep from being lost. It's challenging sometimes to obey. It's difficult sometimes to obey. But we will be greatly rewarded for it. It's not that complicated. A lot of times I think in life we make things harder than it really has to be. And like me working on the lawnmower, we waste a lot of time and we make it harder than it has to be. Obedience to the gospel, even for Christians each and every day, is really not that difficult. Let's show our love. Let's show the proof of our love. Let's enjoy that blessed Christian life. There are marriages here that are what they need to be because both Christians are acting the way they should, and parents raising children the way that they need to be raised because they're following the gospel, and husbands and wives loving each other as they should. What a blessed thing. And you can experience that, and I can, if we'll obey. No one here wants to be lost. We all want to be saved. We all want to be in heaven. So let's obey in order to do that. If you're subject this evening, you need to step forward confessing that Jesus is the Christ. You need to believe that in your heart. And you need to confess that before this good audience, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then you need to go behind me in this body of water and be immersed for the remission of your sins. You need to do that this evening. And for those who are Christians and the godly men and women of the Southside congregation, let's get up tomorrow and obey the gospel. And the next day, and the next day. And the next day. We've been given good reason to do so. We've been given that promise. We've been given that reward. And I know that you'll do that. There are brethren here that were here when I was here before in 2015. And if I were to come back in another 4 or 5 years, I think they would still be here. There are constant, consistent brethren who love the Lord. They know why they need to obey. They understand it very clearly, and they've been doing that for a long time. And what an encouragement that is. Let's be that kind of brother or sister. It's not the complainer. There are brethren who don't understand these things that we've talked about tonight. They don't understand that it's about showing love or enjoying the Christian life. It's murmuring and complaining and being divisive and being ugly and causing problems and quitting. But we know why to obey, and we're going to do that. If we can help you to obey the gospel this evening and become a Christian, if we can help you as a Christian to obey the gospel, let us do that. If you're subject, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?